You're with SBS Radio.
Whatamoole and welcome to NITV Radio. I'm Kerry Lee Harding. I recently took some time out to yarn with Tony Briggs, Artistic Director of the Birrarranga Film Festival. And I first started off by asking Tony, why did he create the very first Birrarranga Film Festival 2 years ago?
You know, I got sick of, like you, I'm sure, and every other black fella listening, got sick of being the history teacher all the time, you know? I'm just so over it. And especially now, like, you know, I kind of forgave him before the internet came along. For those younger audience, yes, there was a time, and I was live then. But, you know, there's no excuse at all. I don't mind having the conversation. That's fine, but. You know, so it's just another kind of way for them to learn. But the thing about this festival is that, you know, using these providing an avenue like this is more really for, it really is for our own mob, really, you know. Like I I'd always get excited. You know, years ago when I was a little fella, my auntie Hillis, spent a lot of time in the States somewhere. I don't know where exactly, but I remember her coming back and she spent a lot of time with First Nation mob over there and wherever it was she was. And she came back and she was, I never forget her telling us, you know, me and my other cousins, you know, telling us about how much they're like us over there. They're so like us, nephew. I'm like, what do you mean? They bury their mob the same way. Their cultures, they got the same humor, they got, like, it was a real, like, that was in the late 70s, I think, yeah. So, you know, and I've been fascinated just by the idea since then of other Indigenous cultures, no matter where in the world, that I can kind of, you know, on a cultural level connect with to understand. And then, yeah, so that just stuck with me my whole life and made me want to kind of do things that would be able to open up that world for myself and for, you know, the black fellas and you know, if it was possible. And that's where the seed of the idea was born for a festival of sorts, you know. And as I got older, you know, my 20s, and it was really when it really took a hold, the idea. And so I just pursued it off and on, but never really got anywhere. I pursued a little bit. I was to be doing other stuff, really, to be honest. And then, you know, recent times, you know, my partner, Demian, who's the producer as well of this festival, came home one day and said, are you still keen to, you know, are you interested in this idea that you want to do a film festival? I said, yeah, never, no. It'll never leave me until I do it. And, yeah, so she said, well, this opportunity has come up. This mob want to help facilitate that. And then once we get up and going, we're on our own and they just want to help us. And that's exactly what happened. And that's where we are today, you know, 4 years later, 4 or 5 years later.
Now, the last Birrarranga Film Festival was held about 2 years ago, Bruz. And this time around, you've got a lineup of more than 70 films. Is that an easy task to go through and choose what's going to be in the film festival? What's that process like?
No, it's not an easy task because, you know, I want to be part of a bigger, you know, bigger picture of helping to create, you know, an opportunity, a platform for, you know, as many Indigenous creatives as possible in this field. And it's not easy because there's a lot of things. I don't necessarily subscribe to having to be the first to do this or the first to do that, or, you know, it's a world premiere this, world premiere that. It's, I mean, they're great things, and that's not to say that somewhere down the track that might not, that it's never going to happen. But right now, where I feel and where I'm sitting with it, it's really kind of, you know, allowing it to kind of manifest the way it wants to manifest, you know. So I see films, shorts, and, you know, and other, I've only got a certain amount of space that I can provide, you know, and a certain amount of time, you know. And I think So it's a tricky one sometimes, because I'll come across like two or three films, for maybe short films. I'm like, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that one, but I love this one. But you can't. You've got your quota for this. Demian will be like, no, you can't do that. It'll be like, we'll go over, and then we'll throw the whole timing out, so those are the technical aspects of it, I guess you call it that, play a little bit of a part in it, but. And so I feel real guilty because I can't go, let the filmmaker know and just say, you can definitely be a part of it. It's not that I don't want to or we don't want to. It's just sort of some things we can and can't do. And again, I it sort of allows me anyhow. I don't care really. I just I'll come back to them anyway for the next one and say, there are films that we've got that, were made 10 years ago years ago. So. Yeah, they don't all have to be brand new films. And, but I do like to sit and, choose the films. I still do need to do that because it has to resonate with me. I don't have any kind of big grandiose plan of how I do it or anything. It's just how I feel about how I'm affected by what I'm seeing in front of me in that moment. And that's often how I choose the films, Can't probably work backwards than most other people who do this. That's just my way. Yeah. Well, our opening night film is, I think we touched on, is the Bangarra film. It's a Firestarter, which is, a fantastic, a celebration of, in particular three incredible men, but incredible people who, have been integral to the success of this company, both on the stage and behind the stage. It's a nice homage to that. But it's particularly tricky for many of us in the community who knew the brother boys who are no longer with us. So if you haven't seen that film, brace yourself and you want to see that film, bring along a box of tissues. It's a beautiful film. It's a really, really beautifully made film, and I'm really proud that we've got that in there. So that's Firestarter. Our closing night film is called The Sun Above Me Never Sets. So from Russia. It's a Russian film. It's a beautiful a really gentle film. It's a really beautiful film about this young man who's struggling with his relationship with his father, who has to go to this island work, and he meets this mysterious older man, and really cute. He's really funny. And this older man has been looking for his daughter who went missing, years before, and was just waiting for her to come back. And, it's just a, oh, I love this film so much. It really is one of my favourite films of, for a really long time, actually. So, I love those two films. And we've got, there's a Canadian film called We Will Stand Up. It's a documentary that explores the death, murder of this young man named Colton Bushy, Cree, from the Cree Nation. And, it's a really interesting exploration of the way our mobs kind of looked upon, and deaths, and how they're handled, and how we're kind of pushed aside, and that's what I was sort of alluding to about the correlation between other cultures in other parts of the world. We can really relate to these things, and I found myself looking at these types of movies and going, it's just no different than to here, the deaths in custody and so forth. And this is a really, really powerful film. This one it's a fantastic film. And we've got something at the other end of the scale, a film called Blood Quantum, which I think premiered at Imaginative Film Festival. I'm not sure if it was last year. Yeah, I think it was last year. And it's a horror flick about a zombie apocalypse. So if you're into that kind of stuff, it's got a bit of a following, this film. It's a fantastic film. I'm not always into that kind of stuff, the zombie stuff, but I found myself totally hooked in this film within the first 3 minutes. I was like, my God, what's going on here? Is this big change happening inside of me? I'm like, but I love the idea that the, you know, the First Nation mob in this, depicted in this story, are the only ones who are not affected by this this plague that's hit the whole world. So all the First Nation mobs are surviving. They've got to fight off all these. It's pretty, I got a little bit of a chuckle out of it. It's a great film. It's a well, really well-made film too. Bit of gore in there, but you know, it's a lot of fun. It's a great film. So that's Blood Quantum, that one, a Canadian film. We've got a one called Eating Up Easter, which is it's a film out of the US and Chile, and it's about the struggle between cultural traditions and fighting against, you know, things that are moving fast in the in that part of the world in Easter Island. And they're sort of looking at how the community can preserve their language and their culture and their land and everything in the face of tourism that's just ever growing there. It's really growing really fast. So they're, you know, facing all that kind of stuff and the effects that it has on their country. And you just, it's just, you know, it's interesting with that one because they're so rich with the culture. It's a really, you see this really kind of clear line between those who, although they all love their culture, of course they love their culture, but you can see there's a very, very clear split between in the community there and who wants to sort of keep going down a traditional type of route and who wants to, although hold on to the traditions, still need to move forward in a different kind of a way. So there's that kind of conflict, but in the center of it all is the country is suffering from, you know, just even these tourists, or from these tourists coming outside and leaving their crap everywhere. And so it's a real environmental, it's studying the environmental sort of impact that, you know, we have too in a tiny little place like this beautiful place. That's a beautiful one, that one. We've got an Aussie film called Not Just Numbers, and that's about, it's a documentary. It's about the women's group, women's family safety group in Alice Springs. And, you know, that's a very powerful one that we have had special permission to still screen that. There was in light of a recent tragedy with one of the subjects in film, but we've got permission to screen that still. And they want that. They think it's really important because it actually talks to the very issue that they're talking about. In this the fight for their lives and their families, and they're not wanting to be just numbers. They want to be seen and heard. So that's Not Just Numbers. That's a great Aussie one. What else have we got for you? Oh, Red Snow is a great feature film we've got. That's about a young, it's a Canadian film. It's about a young soldier who gets caught by the Taliban in the Afghani war. And while he's caught, he reflects on his home life and his cousin and his love and, you know, reflects on what's important to him. He's, you know, he has it through a series of flashbacks. That's a great film there. It's a real action-packed kind of drama. It's really great film. So we've got a really good collection. We've also got a couple of panels. We're pretty excited about the fact that we've got Leah Purcell and Bain talking about the making of The Drover's Wife, their feature film that's coming out soon. So we got them. Daniel Browning will be talking with them about their process and, you know, what. So we're thrilled that. That just sort of came out of nowhere for us. And we're like, yeah, sure. Okay. It was love to have you involved, you know? So it's really good. So really, really excited about that. So we've got something for everyone. It's a real diverse mix.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.